North Rock Podcast.
Oh, hi, everybody. How are we doing? You guys made it. You did it. Good job. The hale and hearty Coloradans made it through the blizzard. Were you aware we had a blizzard? Because it's like 60 degrees outside right now. Can I just tell you that Colorado weather is like truly neurotic? Like, it is the weirdest. My kids were outside playing the day before. There was an apocalypse, just a little one. And then the next day, they were outside playing in like shorts and t-shirts again. Like racquetball with snowballs. Do you guys know that's weird? Like, are you aware of this, those of you who have been here for a long time? It is, okay? So just be proud of that. Own it. Own your weirdness. That wasn't a joke. Let's not laugh. Yes, that's true. And I'm not saying weird is bad. I mean, have you met me? So yeah, like Andrew was talking about, we're going through John, and John is a little separate than the other three Gospels. He focuses so much on Jesus being sent by God to be the Savior of the world, and he arranges the entire Gospel around this message, as opposed to like a more linear kind of idea of like Jesus did this and then this and then this and then this. He's pointing to a very important fact that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came to earth to save us. So we've gone through several miracles at this point. We have the water into wine. We have healing the official's son, healing the paralytic, feeding the 5,000, and then Pastor Chad was just talking about Jesus walking on water. So that's kind of where we're at. This is, we're moving into John 9, so he kind of skips forward a little bit. But I was thinking about my message and kind of like how to tie this into my life right now, and it went back to this mighty blizzard. We've been here for 4 years, and this was our first. Like, we've been through some big snowstorms. Like, we got some deep snow, and we had a lot of wind and stuff like that. But they were talking about this being like a generational storm, like this being something, you know, like you might not make it. And I was like, they're just making stuff up. And so I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And this is all the information I'm getting when I try to figure out how to react to this storm. So what I knew was we were going to get anywhere from 0 to 140 inches. It could start at 5, 6, 7, or 8, which was fine. I'm fine with that. But maybe today, maybe tomorrow, the temperature is going to either be 0 or 80. And then it was like, if you're on the east side of the freeway, you're certainly going to die. And then it's like, if you're on the west side of the freeway, it's like, and so I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm new here. This is not my thing. Everybody around me is like, meh. And I'm like, should we get the bread and milk? Like, do we gotta get the bread and milk? How much toilet paper do we have? Is this gonna be a thing? Like, my wife and I both work from home, and so I'm sorry, everyone, but I kind of enjoy the storms and stuff like that. I'm like, just sit in my house, and I'm like, I don't gotta go out in this, you know, and just sit and enjoy, and it's fine. But then I was like, what if the power goes out? Then I can't work. What if these trees, like, fall through my roof? Because we have these giant trees next to my house, and the kids are like, is this a big deal? And I'm like, no, maybe. It's possible. I don't even know. I think the coolest part about I will eventually get to a message, but I just excited that I went through a blizzard. I think the coolest part, I'm like, I joined the club. Am I a real Coloradan now, guys? Yes, you are, Josh. The coolest part was the name. It was a bomb cyclone. Like, you know, the bomb cyclone like walked up to his friends and was like, what do they call you? And they're like, polar vortex. And he's like, bomb cyclone. It's like little kids like choosing their nicknames. Like, I'm going to be Bomb Cyclone. Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one. Wish I had thought of that. So what I did was I found this guy. He's a local meteorologist, and he always provides really good information, and he kind of goes through those weird, like cloud formation maps that they show all the time, and you're just kind of expected to understand what the little swirls mean and the different colors, and like, oh yeah, I got this. But he actually explains the whole thing, which was really nice. But here he is kind of explaining the bomb cyclone. Who's excited to know the word bombogenesis now? just me. And Pam. Yeah. So we have to use that in a sentence as soon as possible. Like, how was your day? Bombogenesis. People are going to be like, what? And you'll be like, yeah. Bombogenesis. So we actually, it was, he keeps talking about millibars. I don't know what they are. But we hit 968, which was a record for ever since they started, you know, recording millibars. But we don't know what those are. But we did it, you guys. We hit 968. So by the end of that video, I was like, yeah, millibars, bombogenesis. And I still didn't know how much snow I was going to get at my house or if we were all going to die. But I was on the east side of the freeway, so I was kind of like, I should be all right. Whatever. Don't mess with my sermon. But so the whole point of all of these shenanigans that I'm talking about is I wanted to know so I could prepare for what was happening. In this passage that we're going to look at, the disciples also had important questions. So let's pray real quick before we actually start talking about important stuff. Okay. Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, God, for your still small voice, that your words don't come back void, that your words, God, change us. I pray that you would help us today to see more of you, that we would see a new facet of who you are, and we would know you more and understand you more. And God, that in that understanding, we would be a more effective people, that we would be lit up, and people would see the love of Christ in us, and people would know that we are a Christian by our love and by who you are through us. And we thank you, God, that you've provided these words to us. And we ask, God, that they would cement in our souls and who we are. And we would be more like your Son. Amen? Amen? Amen. So as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. And this word means sent, which is just another plug by John saying everything Jesus does shows that God sent him. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So here we have three groups or three people. We have the blind man. We know from the scripture that he was born that way. We know he's a beggar, and so he can't contribute. He's known by his affliction. Even as we go through the rest of this, because there's actually quite a bit of fallout from this miracle that Jesus does. His name is never known. He's always the blind man. He's disrespected and he's judged. We see the disciples, they're following Jesus. They're curious. They're a bit judgmental. And as we look at this, we're going to see that they are also blind. Then we have Jesus. We know he's sent by God. He is the light of the world. He's in transit. We know he's just walking from point A to point B. He's compassionate. He's a rabbi. He's the healer. He's also a very evasive question answerer, which is so irritating. Like here we have Billy Crystal and long-haired guy, and Billy Crystal says, "What's the meaning of life?" And the guy says, "Life's a cookie," and boops him on the nose. Those kinds of questions and answers, it's the worst. You want a direct answer, and you get something completely different. They asked Jesus a direct question, and his response was something completely, wildly different than what they were expecting. So I went to Facebook, the source of all knowledge, and I went to this source. Thanks, Richard. I went to this source of information that I respected to find out about the storm, right? While this guy's answers was relevant and knowledgeable, I still didn't know really what to expect. So we see Jesus all the time answering direct questions with really weird answers. And it helps me when I look at the Bible that way, because we have 2,000 years of tradition of Jesus saying, "I'm the light of the world," right? And that's something we all know. That's something that has been a part of our tradition most likely for most of our lives. But it really helps me when I stop and look at the Bible and I think, what were the disciples thinking? What was this response? They're just walking along. Everybody's talking, having a good time. They're curious. They're with this guy who has supernatural knowledge somehow. And they're like, "I've always wondered why this guy's been blind since birth. Or why anyone would be blind since birth. Who messed up?" Right? So they're like, "Jesus, rabbi, teacher, who messed up?" And Jesus is like, "Life is a cookie." Boop. Doot, 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 doot. Right? So when I look at things like that, it helps me understand the humanity in all of this and to relate. It stops them being icons, you know, with the halo painted around their head and standing like this. And these were just normal guys. These were fishermen walking with a teacher. And all of a sudden, but the thing was, it was just so different. And that's why it's still around 2,000 years later. So I don't want us to get to the point where we're just reading all of this and learning about all of this just because it's tradition. This is wild, world-changing, really weird stuff. And we have to be okay with that. And we have to see it as if we're there. So when I looked at their question, my first response was the natural response of, "Oh my gosh, disciples, you're so judgmental. Like, you guys, who messed up?" Like, duh, no one messed up. But this wasn't a bad question. This wasn't out of bounds for their worldview. If you look back, even in Scripture that they had memorized from Exodus, this is part of the Torah. They have the first five books of the Bible memorized by 12. I'm 37. And I got some verses down. Most of the time, I can't remember where they're from. And I went to Bible college for 20 years. High five. Not a doctor yet either. Listen to this from Exodus. "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, and I will punish the children for the sin of the parents," children, "to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." that is wild. That's like 100-something years that people are punished. This was not out of the realm of possibility for them to be like, how do I have this not happen to me? Right? It's a big question. And Jesus just upends it. This is what he does. He comes in and changes everything. These guys were looking for control. If they could only understand why this kid had been blind his whole life, they would know how to fix it and how to avoid it. The question, why has this happened? We've all asked that question, right? Oh God, why? Is one which can hardly be restrained by any human being faced with calamity. But if a good reason could be found for evil, then either the evil is not evil or the reason is no good. We can't explain it. And Jesus is saying, you're asking the wrong question. I wrote all of this before the shooting in New Zealand. And that's evil. That's the evil in this world. That's the darkness. And we can't look at those people that did that or that guy. I haven't been able to actually research what happened. I'm not sure I want to. We can't ask why he did it. He can have his reasons, but it's evil. And darkness prevailed in that situation. Evil prevailed. And God, we look to you to bring peace. We ask, God, that in the darkness you would bring light. But those people affected in New Zealand who went through this horrible tragedy, that your light would shine into that situation and they would hear your voice, Lord. That you would bring visions of Jesus Christ into their lives and they would know that you are the Savior. And we thank you, God, that you turn things around for good. Even in the darkest moments. Amen. Our desire to understand is a desire for control. We seek understanding because we want to be able to explain, to avoid the situation, which provides security. Also, if we understand it, we can fix it. I looked at the disciples as, in my own judgment, for being judgmental. Good job, Josh. But really, what this scripture is a mirror showing us. We want knowledge and we want control. We want this provider of supernatural knowledge and understanding to explain to us why we went through what we did, why that person went through what they did, why our loved ones went through what they did. And you can fill in the blanks, because I guarantee you, church, we've all been through it and we've all had that question. But Jesus was not sent to explain the world. He has no interest in that, because we can't wrap our heads around what is evil, and we can't even actually wrap our heads around what is love. And now that song's stuck in my head. Jesus was sent not to explain the world, but to change it. In answering the question how he did, Jesus shows the disciples that they're just as blind as the man. And thus, when we look at this, we're the disciples. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. All of these things, all of this, these tragic things in our life, all of these questions, all of these why God moments, God can use them so that the works of God may be displayed in you. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am in the light of the world. You're asking the wrong question if you're asking why. Their question was about cause. They wanted to know why. And they were not focused on healing or help. The disciples were, they called him rabbi. This was a teaching moment. They wanted to be taught. They were expecting knowledge, not application. They expected Jesus to keep walking. They had no idea that they were blind. They had no idea they were asking the wrong question. They had no idea that why was irrelevant. And that's a hard pill for us to swallow when we look at our own lives, when we're going through our own things, when we want to know why. But God isn't saying, I'm going to give you all the reasons. I'm going to change you. I'm going to change the world around you. Jesus isn't concerned about lighting the path behind us. When he says, I'm the light of the world, he's not saying, check this out behind you. He's not here to explain our circumstances. He wants to provide light for the path ahead. Amen. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We are all called according to his purpose. What I'm not saying, and I need you to hear me, because that, especially that last verse, has been twisted into this kind of trite platitude to make you feel better, like the sun will come out tomorrow. God deeply cares about your hurts. He deeply cares about the darkness. He deeply cares about evil. He sent his son to combat it, to bring us into his presence. This isn't a pull yourself up by the bootstraps message. What I'm saying is Jesus is the way out. Our goal is not to understand. It is instead to allow him to shine his light in the darkness. Amen? So if this isn't a pull yourself up by the bootstraps, how are we to be led out of darkness? I don't know. And that is 100% the best answer. Because if we look at this scripture, we see several different ways that people have been led out of darkness. Physically, the blind man was healed. Physically, he responded. He got up, he washed his face, and came back, and he could see. Even at the most elementary level, he had the faith to do what a complete stranger told him to do. He had no idea this was Jesus. He hadn't seen him before. But whatever works, works. I'll do it. I'll try it. Fine. The disciples had to recognize that they needed to do the work. Their blindness was to themselves, to the fact that Jesus, up to this point, had been teaching them, and Jesus is saying, You're good. Let's make hay while the sun shines. You need to start telling people that I'm the light of the world. And we're not going to be able to do this for much longer because darkness is coming. There are two distinct responses that had to be made. So what that tells me is when I am struggling, when I realize my own blindness, when I understand that I don't see things the way God sees them, how is it going to be illuminated to me? How is the blindness going to be removed? They were in transit with Jesus. They were with him. They were talking to him. They were in relationship with him. They were close to him. What does that tell you? If you want health and wholeness and to have the darkness removed, it's a very simple thing that must be done. You have to be in a position where you can hear God, you have to listen, and you have to have the willingness to allow the light into the darkness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Have the worship team come up. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And where is Jesus now? Yep. He's in us. And in later scriptures, it says, you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. We have to allow the light of the world in us and through us. We're here to bring light into darkness. And that comes from knowing Jesus and from being in relationship with him. And that comes from asking God to shine light in the darkest of our places. And that can be a vulnerable, scary place. Because some of those are dark for a reason. Some of them we put away ourselves. Some of them are there because tragic things have happened in our life. Because there's been evil. I'm sorry. But the light of the world wants to provide a path and a direction out of that. And we can't provide a formula. And we can't say, if you believe enough, if you try hard enough, if you go to church enough, if you read your Bible enough, everything will be fine. Because that's not how it works. Obviously, that man's faith that was blind, nil. It was zero. He had no idea what he was doing, and still God healed him. The disciples were doing everything they possibly could to be as close to Jesus as they could, and still they were blind. And their blindness was only removed when they asked, when they asked questions, when they were in relationship, when they allowed Jesus to move into their life. And Jesus didn't give them the answer they wanted, but he gave them the answer they needed. It not only changed the blind man's life, it not only changed the disciples' life, but if you continue to read, it changed the community. The man's visage was so changed that he was unrecognizable. People didn't know him. And he had to be like, no, it's me. I was blind before. Now I can see. It caused rifts in the Pharisees. They were like, if this guy can do this on the Sabbath, maybe he is a prophet. So are we willing to allow God to change us and illuminate our path, what he's calling us to do? Because when we are, everything changes around us. Do you want that? Is that what you want? Because I guarantee it's a wild ride. Lord have mercy. Father God, Father God, light up. Light up everything. We ask God for the eyes to see. We ask for your light to lead us. We ask that you would let us know the blindness that we have. You would let us know the places where we're willing to walk past the blind man. You would let us know the places where we're simply looking for security. Where we are simply ignoring Father God. Only your words can change us. And only your heart will change us. So bring light, Lord. Give us the courage to look at the things with you that we have put away in dark corners. Give us the courage that when you illuminate something in our life, that we have the faith and the strength to do it, to go through with it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. That was a good song. It's been around for a while. So, I forgot last service to do the prayer. So if you guys could pray for the first service as well. This is so foundational. I love this prayer. I love this prayer because of the tradition of it, but I also love that it basically covers everything. We want to know why, but it points back to the fact that Jesus died on the cross and we receive his forgiveness and we are invited into the throne room of God. Amen? Amen. So if this is the first time you're going to pray this, we would love to speak with you afterwards. We have a gift for you. And we will have people to pray with you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and I trust. Amen. 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 All right. Go in peace and be blessed. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.